Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of September 10th, 2019. And this is officially episode number 407. The 407th. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And yes, we are live on the Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com. Yeah, I'm well rested. Sounds like it, right? Could use a nap, though. But took last week off. And we'll be taking next week off as well. Come on, it's fall. Got to get rested up for October. It's coming up. So lots of news in the last week. One story I've been waiting over a year for. It's finally been revealed, and that's on the Loch Ness Monster. We have an update tonight on Alligator Rob. Oh, and Chancellor Snapper, by the way. We'll also talk about the Storm Area 51 event. Might be running out of steam. Big announcement about that came out yesterday. And I don't know why it's so slow to hit the news waves. It came out yesterday. No one's really talking about it, but you're going to hear about it tonight. I'm going to break down that latest debacle and conspiracy about that event. We're also going to talk about MUFON. Sighting statistics. So we're going to talk some UFO sightings for the month of August. And does the government have something to hide about UFOs? We're going to ask a few thousand people that. Well, they already did. And I'll break that down for you guys about a poll that was released. And we'll also ask Elon Musk. Well, we're not going to ask him. He's going to tell us, basically. He's already got the answer for us. And a whole lot more. And there's a lot that actually made the didn't make it in the show. Hit the cutting room floor. Lots of news. And some of it good. Some of it not that great. And you know how the paranormal is. Some of these stories you just wonder, my gosh, people really believe that thing. That story is ridiculous. But there's some interesting stuff that has come out. The last few days and last month or so, but don't worry, I'm tucking those stories in there for a slow news week, just in case stories don't develop. But I tell you, it's been a pretty good year this year so far. I'm kind of impressed. I'm kind of hoping for a couple of pretty big blockbuster type stories to pop up here in the next few months, and I've got a feeling that we've not seen the biggest story yet. This year, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Usually after November, things pretty much slow down and there's really nothing big. But I've got a feeling this year is going to be the year where a big story is going to break later in the year. And of course, as always, here we're going to talk about some paranormal conferences, conventions. What is coming up this weekend? Well, this weekend we do have the Prescott Paranormal Expo, September 13th and 14th, and where else but Prescott. That's Arizona. That's a more of a ghost-type event. UFO events, got nothing. Got nothing this weekend. I'm sure there might be something out there. But there is something the following weekend, the Michigan UFO Contact, September 20th and 21st in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Is it Houghton Lake? I think it's Houghton Lake. I was just there. Should know this. See, ghost stuff. There's a couple of events next weekend. The Outer Realm, not this weekend, September 21st. The Outer Realm Festival in Harriman, Tennessee. And HillCon taking place September 21st as well in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. And let's zip on down to cryptozoology events. The WNC Bigfoot Festival. It's taking place this weekend, September 14th, in Marion, North Carolina. And I'll mention that real quick. It wasn't going to be part of my lineup of stories. I closed the link. I don't have the link. But I'll just mention it from my memory. So Bigfoot video released from North Carolina says that he's captured three Bigfoots on film. I don't know. Bigfoots is what he called it. At least that's what the media said. Bigfoots. I don't know. I didn't see it. He's moving the camera around. It's kind of hard to tell if something is actually moving or not. But this guy is a true believer. So I'm a little skeptical about that video. I don't know if you saw it or not. It's pretty much the biggest Bigfoot news blurb out there. I decided to sidestep that. I dropped it from tonight's lineup due to some kind of, you know, the late breaking thing. This big Area 51 announcement that took that happened yesterday. So, yeah, but there you go. Look for it. Check it out. Bigfoot video. Guy says he sees three Bigfoot. I don't know. Guy's he's in Ohio, so he's an Ohioan, Buckeye, whatever you want to call him. I'm not sure about it. Not sure about it. Yeah. So what do we got here? So that's pretty much it. So what I got. We got a lot of events coming up. Obviously, towards the end of September, and October is, well, that's the holiday. That's Christmas for the paranormal. That's pretty much it. Did I change my website? I don't know. The also want to mention the October, speaking of October, the October Haunt Fest. Is that enough Octobers? October Haunt Fest 2019 taking place on October 30th in Cayuga, Indiana, at the Willow's Weep House. And yeah, that's pretty much that. We're going to leave that right there. And again, if you have any information about any conference convention, let me know. I'll put it up on the website. I'll talk about it. I'll mention it. I'll take up 5 minutes at the beginning of my show. Whatever I got to do to help you get your event out there. Trust me, I know these things. I put on my own paranormal conference last year. I've helped a lot of people over the course of the last 10, 12 years put on their conferences. I've spoken at many good ones and a few bad ones. No offense. You know who you are. Over the years, have a lot of fun at these events, though. I'll tell you, they're always more good than bad. And you always meet a lot of fantastic people at these events. A couple crazy people, too. I'm not going to lie to you. But sometimes that's entertaining. You get your money's worth when you go to one of these events. So check them out. Check out that list. And again, if you have any information about any conference convention in your neck of the woods, or you know one that's not on the list and you think it might be beneficial for all of us to have it on there, let me know. And you can find me at insider@paranewsinsider.com. That's my email address. Or you can find me, it's paranewsinsider.com. That's the website. And there's a link there to contact me. Send me a little message type thing. I don't do all this Snapchat type stuff. I don't know, you youngins. I don't know, you kids nowadays, what you're doing. Also have Twitter. So you can get a hold of me at paranewsinsider. Also on Facebook. People still use Facebook? I guess some old people do. Facebook.com/paranewsinsider. Also on Instagram, but I don't really post much to that. But you can get a hold of me there too, I guess. I'll get the message. And we'll figure things out. I'll get the event up as quickly as I can. And speaking of quickly as I can, let's jump into the news. Cryptid news. Alligators. Why not? Alligators seems to be the big theme this year. I don't know why. You know, we've had alligator stories in the past. The last couple of years, last year was a couple of big ones. But I don't know. This year is just crazy with alligators. Maybe I'm just noticing the alligator stories a little bit more. But earlier this year, there was a pretty big one. Well, not really a pretty big alligator, but a pretty big story about a little alligator that was unfortunately released by somebody, we don't know who, into a lagoon in Humboldt Park, which is it's near, pretty much near downtown Chicago, Illinois, Midwest. Not sure if you know, but alligators are not, they're not supposed to be there at all. Unless they flew into O'Hare. I don't know. But they're not locals. So a lot of people turned up to see this alligator during the summer. And big story. They local newspaper had a contest to name the alligator. And, you know, that always makes it more personable when you give a creature or something a name. And we do that with everything, right? We do that with Wessie the snake a few years ago. We do it with every creature, right? So why not this alligator? So the winning name chosen was Chance the Snapper. Now, you know, when the story came out, I know who Chance the Rapper is. I've heard of him. I've seen his picture. But honestly, I've never heard his music. And, wow. Over the weekend, I was fortunate enough to be at a wedding. Congratulations to Rebecca and Chris down there in Columbus, Ohio. Listeners of the show. Well, we'll see if they're listeners of the show now. Yeah. No, they're... I know they used to listen. I'm sure they're a little bit busy right now, if you know what I mean. But I was at the wedding, and I got to hear a song. I don't know if you'd say it's sung by Chance the Rapper. It's kind of like mumbled with music behind it about taking a shower or something. I don't know what it was, but horrible music, just horrible. I don't know what you kids listen to nowadays, but it's pretty bad stuff. Give me my Motley Crue any day over that stuff. But anyway, I had been rooting for Chance to elude capture during the story. I really wanted him to kind of survive out there in the wild a little longer, just to kind of get the story going and make it a little deeper in history, I guess. Because it was a nice story. It was a feel-good story, even though it's sad that this alligator was dumped into waters that eventually, I mean, not even now, but eventually he won't be able to survive. But you know he's going to get captured and relocated. But unfortunately, the pursuit of this, the free roaming nature of this alligator, unfortunately came at the expense of a guy named, well, nicknamed Alligator Bob. And Alligator Bob is a guy who's a member of the local herpetological society. Man, I was never messed that up before. I finally messed it up. Herpetological society. They're in Chicago, and he's found a few alligators over the years and helped relocate them. But this guy, he couldn't catch him. Couldn't catch Chance the Snapper. He eluded capture, so they had to bring somebody else in. So this former hero, now replaced by Frank Robb from Florida, who came in and captured Chance within a couple of days. Or was it within one day? I don't know. But captured it awful quick. And became a local celebrity pretty much overnight. So Rob got to throw out the first pitch at the Cubs game that Friday, the week that he captured Chance the Snapper, and was recently announced to be honored at an event coming this weekend. And people have been getting selfies with him everywhere, including the airport. This guy's being recognized at the airport. You know you've made it when people are recognizing you at the airport and wanting to get their picture with you. That's a pretty big deal. And a recent story on Rob says that he's also fallen in love with Chicago and Chicago pizza. I mean, who couldn't fall in love with Chicago pizza? Way better than New York style. That thin stuff you got to fold up in quarters just to eat it. Oh, Chicago deep dish. You got to love it. But he's also even found love. He's found a girlfriend in the Windy City. What a great love story. You know, this is going to be, it's got to be a Lifetime movie. Definitely going to be a Lifetime movie. And go ahead and take it. Go ahead and take it. If you're a movie producer, you want to do a documentary, here's your title. A Chance Encounter. That's it right there. There it is. I found love in the Windy City. A Chance Encounter. That's the name of the movie that's coming out this fall on the Lifetime channel. By the way, during this story, he also mentioned that Chance the Snapper is doing well, and he's adjusted to his new surroundings in case anybody cared. I mean, this is now about Alligator Rob. Nobody cares about the alligator. Everybody's in love with Frank Rob. But Chance is doing well. He's adjusted to his new surroundings, and he's soaking up the Florida sun, and he's getting some exercise too. He's getting a little chubby. Alligators get chubby. I think they do. Well, Anyway, good luck to Frank Robb, and good luck to Chance. So hopefully we see him or hear about him in the future. Good news, I hope. So let's go to Scotland. And yes, a story I've been waiting for over a year. A year to talk about, and the information has finally been revealed. It seems really anticlimactic, though. It really does. Last year, Professor Neil Gemmell gathered over 250 samples of water at various depths of Loch Ness in order to catalog the life that lives in the water of Loch Ness. The science experiment was publicly marketed towards finding evidence of the Loch Ness monster, or at least getting answers through true science instead of random sightings of waves and claiming to see a monster. So, you know, nobody's really interested in a science experiment, finding out what lives in a lake. That sounds really boring. But when you mention that you might find proof of the Loch Ness monster, everyone perks up. And of course, that's what sold this story. But unfortunately, the results were delayed due to trying to secure a documentary on the DNA gathering experiment. And I think that really derailed things. I think if he would have just said, let's just push it, let's just get it out, it would have been a much bigger story. I was kind of a letdown this year. I was really banking on this being the number one story of the year. But I don't see how it can be. I really don't. The results, however, have been released officially as of last week. And one of the biggest pieces of information is that there is a complete lack of DNA for any large creature in Loch Ness. So, yes, no plesiosaur, however you want to pronounce it, no sturgeon, no catfish, and no shark DNA, which is important because a lot of people think that there's a Greenland shark that's responsible for many of these sightings, but no shark, no plesiosaur, no sturgeon, no catfish even. You know those giant catfish you see on TV? That's, some people think that that was responsible for some of these sightings, but no. Nothing turned up in the 250-plus samples gathered. Yeah, but this study puts that claim to rest. No big creature. Science has finally killed the Loch Ness Monster. Or has it? Well, you already know the answer to that question. I don't have to answer it for you. It's not going to change anything. Now, also, the speculation over a sturgeon. And I was pretty kind of sold on this too, even though sturgeon don't really break the surface. It's possible that they could come up every now and again, especially due to the way that Loch Ness is kind of designed. But no sturgeon. No sturgeon DNA. Unbelievable. One hypothesis, however, remains, and this is the big thing also that's being pushed out there. A giant eel may be responsible for Loch Ness monster sightings. European eels, and this is some interesting stuff. I didn't know this stuff. I knew they existed down in the Bahamas. They're called elvers when they're hatching little larvae, the little worms. They hatch down in the Bahamas, and they travel about 3,000-plus miles up to, the cold waters up there by United Kingdom. And typically these eels, they get to be about 3 feet long at the largest. One big enough to be confused as a Loch Ness monster, not been found. So I'm not sure about that hypothesis, but I guess he doesn't want to be the bad guy about this thing. Gemmell states that they had eel DNA in nearly every single sample collected, and of a potential giant eel, he says, quote, "Well, our data doesn't reveal their size, but the sheer quantity of the material says that we can't discount the possibility that there may be giant eels in Loch Ness. Therefore, we can't discount the possibility that we have, that what people see and believe is the Loch Ness Monster might be a giant eel, unquote. I'm not sure about that. Maybe one sighting or two sightings here and there, but all the sightings, no. I don't think there's any one way to say that all of these sightings are one thing or another. I think there are a lot of other natural explanations. But as far as DNA, I wish they would have given, I've not seen yet, maybe released in the near future, an entire list of all the creatures and things that were found, maybe even percentages, some kind of a scale to tell us how much DNA was discovered. And I knew this would happen, but they also found human DNA. Now, we don't live in the Loch. We don't, swim, or maybe it's mermen. Mermaids, mermen, I don't know, but no. Human DNA, of course. People do things in Loch Ness, I guess. People swim in it. That's what I meant. They also found evidence of dogs, sheep, cattle, deer, badgers, rabbits, voles, and birds. Of course, anything that has any kind of DNA that would to touch Loch Ness or go in there is going to turn up. And that's good that they found this DNA. So anything that's ever been in Loch Ness alive at some point, that the DNA is somehow moving around, would have been found by these tests. I don't know the furthest depth that they found, or they, I should say, collected the water, but I know that they went at least 100 feet, 150 feet maybe even further. But anything that was at the, anything that had lived in that lock or passed through there should leave some sort of DNA behind in some form or fashion. So, which would slowly dissolve over time. So it's not like they're going to find dinosaur DNA. Dinosaur DNA. Sorry, it's a Jurassic Park thing. But yeah, I'm pretty sure anything that's swam through that lock in the last few decades has probably left its mark. And they, think about that the next time you swallow some ocean water. All the DNA that you're taking in right there. That's gross. Well, will this latest story squash the idea that the Loch Ness Monster is a real creature? Did science just finally put a bullet in Nessie? Is he gone? I mean, he's not there. Science says no. Science says the Loch Ness Monster probably does not exist. Didn't say it didn't exist, just it's not what we think. Well, you're right. Probably not. Now, just a few years ago, it was revealed that a local hotel owner group, a bunch of hotel owners back in the 1930s, got together and decided to use the legend of the creature of the Loch to help spur tourism. It's documented. They created the modern-day Loch Ness Monster story to bring people to the area, which is the 1930s. If you know anything about Loch Ness, that's when the modern-day sightings did occur. And also a lot of hoaxes, fabricated pictures, fabricated footprints, as I've talked about on the show before, that people used to think of the Loch Ness Monster as a land-dwelling creature back in that time as well. But was that enough to squash the Loch Ness Monster? No. That story did absolutely nothing to diminish the tourism to the area, and obviously the story of it as well, because here we are talking about it on a paranormal radio show. It's still out there. It still exists, if not in the minds and hearts of everyone around the world. So, yeah, it's not going to go anywhere. Science can do what it can. It can wave its magic wand of knowledge and information, but it's never, ever going to kill the Loch Ness Monster. We'll see. Maybe something will turn up, but we'll see how that's going to affect tourism and sightings. Probably not going to have any kind of dent whatsoever in any of that. But I don't know. It's just kind of weird. All these stories keep stacking up, and then the sightings that keep coming out, these official sightings, they're pretty much ridiculous. I mean, nothing ever conclusive or close. Yeah, so that's that. And we'll see going forward about the Loch Ness Monster, how these stories continue to evolve. So that's your cryptid news for the week. Let's move into UFO news. And the big news this week, big news this week surrounding alien stock. You know, you guys are probably tired of hearing about it. We've been talking about it for a couple of months now. It's been a pretty big deal through social media. Thank you, Facebook. I guess it's true. Kids are using Facebook. Maybe not for long after this debacle. Yes. So it did start out on Facebook as the Storm Area 51 event geared toward finding dem aliens. That's what it said. Finding dem aliens and doing things to them that I can't say on this family-friendly radio show. But they're going to rescue them. They're going to rescue them as well, as do probably some really strange things to them. But that was their goal. Go find them, break them out of Area 51, bring them home. Keep them as pets, because that's better. Big shakeup this week. I don't know if you've heard about this. Pretty big news. And we are less than, according to my website, I don't know if you saw it, but on the front page of my website, I've got the countdown of the big event, the Alien Stock Storm Area 51 event, which is right now at this moment, sits at 9 days, 18 hours, 30 minutes, and 30 seconds. But it's counting down now. It's continuing to go. But big news. This big event, which was thought to draw a lot of people, pretty big crowd, even a unruly crowd, because people still want to storm Area 51. People really want to do that. There's crazy people that think they're going to be able to do that. Really, truly outrun bullets, which is a little crazy. I don't know if you know anything about science and physics, but that's pretty much impossible. No matter how you run, no matter what you do with your arms, you're not going to outrun a bullet. Sorry. So this Area 51 in Rachel, Nevada area is where this event was going to take place. The tiny town, I should say, of Rachel, Nevada, at the Little Ailey Inn, which is famous for being pretty much the only hotel in the area. Little small, I think it's 8 rooms. And they're going to have people camping out, and that's where they're going to have this big event, concerts, only one stage, I guess, but multiple bands and all this other stuff going on, trying to contain the crowd, the madness, the crazy people that just want to storm Area 51 and just have a sensible get-together. Well, Matty Roberts, the man behind the memes who started the Storm Area 51, which eventually evolved into Alien Stock, which again is a kind of a toned-down version of what he initially had started, just basically into a peace, love, and alien concert event. He visited Rachel over the weekend, and he told Fox 5 on Sunday that, quote, "I've never been more stressed in my life, but have also never been this happy. It's insane, but exciting," unquote. And even though he was stressed out, he was still looking forward to putting on this event. Well, that's all changed. It's all changed. Matty Roberts today, well, I should say yesterday, officially announced that he's pulling out from the event in Rachel. Alien Stock is not taking place. His representative stated that the decision to pull out effectively disconnects them from the inn owner, the town of Rachel, as well as the Alien Stock name and event. So they're no longer, Matty Roberts and Alien Stock, no longer associated with the Little Ailey Inn and the town of Rachel. Smart man. I think he finally got representation. I think he finally got a lawyer who told him, look, dude, if anything goes wrong, you, my man, are responsible. And I've been saying that on this show for weeks, the last month and a half, however long, that he's setting himself up. And to make that even clearer, they actually made reference to the Firefest Which was an event that was advertised to occur in the Exuma Islands in the Bahamas back in early 2017. It was supposed to be a high-end concert event with great places to stay and expensive hotel rooms. Well, it turned out basically be an completely disorganized event. People were staying in FEMA tents. It was not what it was advertised. Pretty much a fraudulent event. And nothing went as advertised. And Billy McFarland, who began the event, was the overseeing everything that happened, was eventually sentenced to 6 years in prison and ordered to forfeit $26 million. And even to this day, there's still numerous lawsuits pending against him and his company. A mess. A mess. And nobody got hurt, as far as I know. Just people kind of... I don't know, butt hurt, I guess, is the term I would use. And pretty embarrassed and out of a lot of money as well. So this Area 51 event could have gone down that road. And I've been saying that for a while, that people are going to go here. And if they do get hurt, or if things get out of control, people run out of water, people are stuck at the event or stuck in that area because of no gasoline or all these things. He could be held liable for all that because he's the person starting this thing up, and he's gotten this organization to help put on this concert event. Yikes. The event, the Fyre Fest, in case you're wondering, is the subject of both a Hulu and a separate Netflix documentary. Yeah, there's two of them. That's how big of a deal this was. And this event could have and might have, or might still, I should say, go down that same path. Now, Roberts told Fox 5, quote, "The permit holder, Connie West of Little Ailey Inn, was given multiple opportunities to provide us with proof that things expected at this festival were in place. In fact, she refused to provide us, as agreed upon, contracts, proof of deposits, or any other paper proof of anything," unquote. That's one side of the story, folks. And as you know, there's always two sides. Sometimes there's three sides. Sometimes it's a cube. The official website of Rachel Nevada, which has been the center of controversy surrounding this story as well, it now states, quote, "Alien stock canceled. The Alien Stock event in Rachel just became Fyre Fest 2.0, as we had predicted. The creator of the Storm Area 51 movement pulled out because he feels the event is not safe and lacks organization. With a week and a half to go, no preparations have been made and no bands have been signed. If any event still happens, it's going to be a pretty sad affair with no bands and very little infrastructure and a lot of unhappy campers. Instead of coming out to Rachel to Storm Area 51, why not enjoy the party at one of the Area 51 events in Las Vegas?" And it has a link to a story which shows, I think there's at least a half dozen events taking place this weekend as well as the weekend of the event. But again, the person who owns the website is kind of a cranky person who doesn't really agree with everything that the townspeople agree with, so it's kind of a controversy here. It's kind of a conspiracy, I guess, more to the point. But meanwhile, Connie West, the owner of Little Alien, where the event was supposed to take place, she states that she received a phone call at 3 a.m. on Monday from Roberts saying that he would no longer be involved with the event due to concern over the safety of Rachel, a lack of infrastructure, and her ability to pay her bills. But West also commented, quote, "I'm sad and I'm heartbroken, but at the same time, it is what it is." She told Fox 5, quote, if he chooses to go somewhere else, that's his choice. I'm still having a party because people are still coming to Rachel, unquote. Now, as far as not having any bands, she claims, Connie West claims to have 20 bands, two comedians, thank goodness for that, booked for the event and has already has down payments for security, medical services, water, entertainment, as well as cleanup services. That sounds pretty organized to me. Probably not completely organized because, again, you have no idea exactly how many people are going to show up. She has an idea how many people are staying at the event. And I'm sure she's fielded a lot of phone calls from curiosity seekers, people wondering what's going to happen there. See, she might have a better clue than anybody as to who's going to show up. But it sounds like somebody's not telling the complete truth here between Maddie Roberts' statement and Connie West's statements. It seems like there's a little bit of disconnect here with the website, the official website of Rachel Nevada, kind of taking the kind of the middle argument there. But it sounds to me like there's a little bit of, I don't know, hurt feelings, jealousy, anger, rage, frustration. I don't know. But, you know, we've said it here and everyone else has commented that this thing was just probably a train wreck in the making. And of course, here it is, less than 10 days to go. And now it's not going to take place. But Connie West says that she's going to have it take place. And we'll see what happens. So we're still going to have a lot of people showing up there. But who knows if, you know, over the course of the next 9 days, if she's going to get a lot of cancellations. And people are going to slowly back out of this one by one. But I'm sure there's still going to be a crowd of people there. But, you know, how unruly they are or what happens if they run out of water, all these fearful things. I think now the wind is a little bit out of those sails, and I don't see it getting too far out of hand. Although, there's still a lot of stuff going on. Like I mentioned, the official Alien Stock website, which is, what is it? I don't have it. I know I had it somewhere. Alien Stock. Well, alienstockfestival.com, in case you're wondering. Now, they're saying the website has now changed. It says Area 51 Celebration Party. If you planned on coming to Alien Stock, we invite you to join us for the Area 51 Celebration event at the downtown Las Vegas venue. Music starts at 8 p.m. with doors opening at 7 p.m. on September 19th, 2019. And now you can actually get tickets for that, even though it's free. See, they listen to me. I swear they're listening to the show. I swear they're listening to the show. And this is an interesting event. One night only. You can get, and anybody who's going, let me know. I want one of these. You'll be able to purchase a bucket of limited edition Area 51 Bud Light beer and a free commemorative t-shirt while supplies last. Oh, gosh. I might put my flight in tonight. I'd love to have that. That'd be pretty cool. That's the t-shirt of the decade right there. For anybody who gets one of those, I'm sure we'll see a few on eBay. Yeah, it's supposed to be, I don't see ticket information, but it's supposed to be free. My goodness, there's a lot of stuff going on down there. There's a Mix 94.1 Bite of Las Vegas. Oh, that's not Alien 51. Jeez, oh man, there's a lot of stuff this weekend and next weekend. By the way, if you do go to that event, it's at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center. They're partnering with Collective Zoo and Bud Light to host an out-of-this-world evening with Top Secret Entertainment Thursday, September 19th with the Area 51 celebration. So now this is the official event now, even though it was unofficial 2 days ago. But this one, you have to be 21 years old to enter, obviously, because it's sponsored by Bud Light. I want one of those green cans. Anybody get one of those green cans? Man, God, let me know. I'd love to have that. Man, sounds like fun. But what a mess. What a debacle this has become. Debacle is my favorite word. But yeah, there's a number of other events this weekend as well as next weekend in Vegas. A lot of them competing with the official Area 51 event. So some stuff happening Thursday, Friday, and all weekend long. So if you're planning on going out there, personally, I don't think I would go out to Rachel. I know people are probably planning on going to Vegas, and hey, you know, let's go check out Rachel to see that debacle. Well, I would check the news first, in case they shut down roads and people get stuck there, or they, what they were talking about is reversing the road so nobody can come in, but everybody can leave. So you might not want to plan on going there. Maybe go up there Sunday night if you're in town that weekend, just to check it out. But what a disaster. And we'll see. It's, again, 9 days out. So we'll see what's going to occur, what's going to happen at the Little Alien, how Rachel is going to handle this going forward. And gosh, you know, what's going to happen at this event? What a debacle. Anyway, MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, they've released their sighting statistics for last month. They can't do it for September. Not yet. Let me throw the alien stock event thing in there real quick for the listeners that are on, or I should say in the chat. You're not really in the chat room. You're kind of on the chat room. That's how I look at it. Can't really be in a chat room because you'd be stuck. But you're those folks that are in the chat room or on the chat room or typing in the chat room or sitting there listening to me in the chat room. Appreciate you guys. And they ask some really good questions. And I try to put in some links in there as well. Sometimes some pictures, but not this week. Anyway, MUFON. August statistics. And let's look back real quick here, looking up. Okay, July. For the month of July, MUFON posted 733 total worldwide reports, with 563 taking place in the United States. Now, August saw the fourth lowest monthly total of 2019, with just 582 worldwide sightings. Yikes. August marks the fifth time that the reports failed to go over 600 this year. This was just the four. There was just four such months last year total. Although I don't have the results from November. December was close. They had 598 total sightings, but still under 600. Of these 582 total sightings in August, of course, the United States was first with 458 sightings. Canada was second with 42. The United Kingdom was next with 28. And then a big drop off to France and Australia that only had four reports each. That's crazy. Iran, South Africa, Argentina, and Mexico each turned in three reports. And there were seven other countries that turned in two reports and another 20 that turned in one report each. And a question in the chat room, how many did Russia report? That is an interesting question. I'll have an answer for you momentarily. And it's just sad that it drops off so far from 458 down to 42. But, you know, some of these other countries have other organizations that report UFOs. But I don't know. It just seems to me that not really that involved. So I'm not seeing Russia at all. It's so Mexico, Romania had two. Hungary had two. Greece had two. Colombia, Puerto Rico, which is a U.S. territory. Germany had two. Korea, South Korea had two. Uruguay, Bulgaria, Poland, Italy, Spain, Denmark, Croatia, New Zealand, Thailand, Belgium, Ireland, Chile, U.S. Minor outlying islands, Bolivia, Netherlands, Turkey, Portugal, Japan, Hong Kong, and Switzerland. Those all had one sighting, so no Russia. They're probably too busy drinking vodka, which I don't blame them. They're blaming. It's an awful big chunk of land there for no UFO sightings. I don't know. Pretty big plot of land. So 458 United States reports. And of course, California, which typically leads the way, led the way again with 57 sightings. New York was second with 31. Florida had 24 and Texas had 23. Now that's kind of expected because these are pretty much the top five states in population. So you kind of expect them to be in the lead. They should be. But the state of Washington was up there. They had 22 sightings. Ohio had 18. Michigan had 17. Pennsylvania, Missouri, and Arizona had 16 each. Nevada had 15. And we'll keep an eye on Nevada next month. I think it's going to be a big crowd of people out there thinking about aliens. That number is probably going to be pretty high. Probably some of the people will be too. But anyway, North Carolina and Oregon had 13 each. Virginia had 12. And Minnesota had 10 reports. And then there was 33 other states that turned in 9 or less reports, with 7 only turning in 1 report each. It's pretty sad. Come on, states. Let's get into it. Looking a little deeper at these states' sighting statistics, I like to break it down compared to their population. So the number of sightings as compared to their population. So from that, I can get the per capita, which I use the standard per 100,000 people, it's looking at California. Again, California is the highest state in population here in the United States, and it's generally the state that I'll use as a baseline. So California, with its 57 reports last month, that translates into a paltry 0.143 per capita. So about 1/6 of a person. It's kind of gruesome to think of it that way. Or you can think statistically as 1 in 700,000 people reported a UFO in California last month to MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. So I use that, again, as a baseline. So 0.143. New York, which is fourth in state population, they had a whopping 31 sightings, and their per capita was actually bigger than California at a 0.159, but really not that statistically big. Missouri, the 18th most populous state here in the United States, had a 0.261. And how many sightings did they have? Missouri. That's a good question because I didn't write it down. They had 16 sightings. And let's see, Idaho, number 39 in state population. They had only had 5 sightings, but those 5 sightings got them a 0.285 per capita. So you see how things work here. State may be really low in population and have a low number of sightings, but that affects their per capita. So that's why I like looking at it like that. And again, MUFON used to do this years ago, but I guess they don't have a statistician anymore on payroll. And as I mentioned, Washington had 22 sightings. They were pretty far up there. Washington is 13th in state population. And with that, they posted a 0.292, or I guess you could round it up and say a 0.3 per capita. Vermont was, they're number 49 in state population, pretty far down there, 0.32. But they only had a whopping 2 sightings to report. So that's, weird math there. New Mexico, 36th in state population. They had a 0.334 per capita with 7 sightings. Nevada, again, we mentioned 15 sightings. Is that what I said? Yeah, 15 sightings. That gives them a 0.494. Or you could say 1 in every 200,000 people, almost, reported a UFO to MUFON in Nevada. And again, we're going to see how that translates next month with a pretty big crowd going to be on hand down there in Vegas. Maybe not in Rachel, but in Vegas, I'm sure there's going to be some people floating around down there. It's a pretty big thing, I guess. And let's continue to talk UFOs. There's a new Gallup poll, not really new, but it's kind of newish. It's on UFOs. It's been released ahead of this Storm Area 51 event that's taking place in 9 days. In the poll, they asked participants if they thought the U.S. government knows more about UFOs than what they're telling us. Of course, I know everyone's got an opinion about that. That's into the paranormal. The information comes from polls collected back on June 19th. Of just over 1,000 people, and August 1st of just over 1,500 people, that reveals that 68% of people polled feel the government definitely knows more about UFOs than what they're telling us. I guess. Only 29% said the government does not know more, and 2% had no opinion. And this poll can be compared to a similar poll that was conducted back in September of 1996, which said that 71% of people believed the government was withholding information, and that 19% said they were not, with 10% having no answer or no opinion. And despite the difference in no response of an additional 10%, there really isn't much difference with this poll, since the number of yeses is still pretty much about the same. Other numbers in the poll stated that 33% of adults believe UFO sightings are spacecraft from other planets or galaxies that are visiting Earth, while 60% feel the sightings can be explained by natural phenomena, such as human activity, and leaving another 7% of people unsure. Only 16% of people polled stated that they have witnessed a UFO, while 84% of people have not. So does life exist on other planets? Well, the answer is yes, according to 75% of the people polled, yet only 49% of people feel that there are people similar to us out there in the universe. So less than half of the people feel that there's human-like creatures out there. I don't think so. I mean, there's a lot of factors that come into play here scientifically. Our distance from the sun, our makeup of the composition of the planet, percentage-wise of all these chemicals, our atmosphere, our size of the planet, the distance from the sun, the sun size, the energy output of the sun, our percentage of the water. I mean, I could go on and on and on. There's a lot of factors that make us the ugly creatures that we are. Either way, there's this is a pretty popular topic. Is 86% of people that were polled have heard of or read about unidentified flying objects. And I would love to meet the other 14% of people. Just curious. How have you never heard of a UFO in your life? And they have access to a computer? I don't know. That's just weird. But Elon Musk is another story, kind of piggybacking on this poll from Gallup. Elon Musk, who knows a thing or two about space, well, he's got his own answer about whether the government knows anything about aliens and UFOs. And you probably know who Elon Musk is. He's the guy that launched his Tesla into outer space, but he's also the founder of SpaceX, and who also brought us, yes, Tesla, not the band, the car. I'm a fan of the band, not a fan of the car too much, unless he gives me one for talking about it. That'd be great. And also, don't forget about PayPal. Yeah, he's the co-founder of PayPal. A lot of people forget about that. He was recently at the World Artificial Intelligence Conference in Shanghai, China. Musk was discussing interplanetary exploration, specifically talking about the need to go to Mars, not the want or desire or dream, but the need to go to Mars, when he was asked about the topic. Now, his response was, quote, There are people out there who think we have found aliens. Trust me, I would know. We have not. Unquote. That sounds pretty matter-of-fact to me. And being the 40th richest person in the world and being somebody who's in the center of space travel for a lot of countries on this planet, I mean, you can't help but kind of believe him a little bit here with this. I mean, this guy kind of knows stuff. He knows people, and he knows things. He did make some other interesting comments, including, quote, people ask me if I've been to Area 51. Okay, please. SpaceX actually has Area 59, and it's 8 better than Area 51. Unquote. Whatever that means. Scarier yet, he made what sounds to me like a revelation about a threat that sounds kind of like it's out of a Terminator movie, if you know what I'm saying. About our need to go to Mars, he said, quote, not from the standpoint of Mars just being an escape hatch or because I think Earth is doomed, but because there is a certain irreducible probability that something may happen to Earth. Despite our best intentions and everything we try to do, there's a probability of external forces or some internal unforced error causing civilization to be destroyed or sufficiently impaired such that it can no longer extend to another planet, unquote. He also added, quote, this is the first time in 4.5 billion year history of Earth that it's been possible to extend the life beyond Earth. How long will this window be open? It would be wise to assume it's open for a short time. So let us secure the future so that the light of consciousness is not extinguished, unquote. And kind of in there, he also commented about computers becoming smarter every day and that the human intellect will soon be surpassed and we better get into space before that happens. I don't know what that means, but that sounds a lot like the plot for Terminator right there. So hopefully we get up to the red planet. That would be kind of cool. And well, I don't know. You get a ticket to go to space for a couple grand, I think, can't you? Pretty cheap. But you're not going all the way into space. You're just going into the upper atmosphere. The space is just for the rich, pretty much, for now. Unless we take over one of their spacecraft. That might be the next space Facebook event. Let's take over space. I don't want to dedicate my time to that right now, but got a lot of other things going on, and that's it. She's done. Hope you enjoyed this week's Paranormal News Insider. A lot of stuff we didn't cover, a lot of stuff we didn't talk about. I wanted to get into Michael Persinger, who's kind of being impersonated by somebody out there. Kind of irritating, really irritating story about one of these TV shows. This guy's claiming that he's done all this work about discovering a connection between earthquakes and UFO sightings. But Michael Persinger beat you to that a long time ago. Anyway, I'm going to be taking next week off again this weekend. I'm going to be out camping out in the woods for a few days, 3 days. So probably won't have time to put together a show. So pretty much I'm going to call it in right now. So I'll see you in 2 weeks. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, and the hair standing on the back of your neck. And always, always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.